Welcome to North Star Church. At North Star, our desire is to lead people to follow Jesus Christ and not simply go to church, but to be the church. The following message is by Jeff Noble, lead pastor and teacher at our Blacksburg, Virginia campus. You can find more information about North Star, including recent podcasts, news, upcoming events, and so much more at northstarfamily.org. Thanks for listening, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
Wow. Aren't you grateful for a worship team made up of all volunteers that practice for us so that we can enter into worship and intimacy with the Lord each and every Sunday? Man, I am very, very appreciative of our worship team and volunteers and our tech folks in the back who make them sound even better than what they already sound. So thank you guys. Today, I've got this distinct privilege of being in between series at North Star. And when that happens, it's always a wonderful opportunity for me to kind of assess and kind of look and determine what I sense God may be wanting to speak to us as a church for our life and for our health. We just completed a summer series called Think to Change, and we've been in that summer series, Think to Change, for about four summers. And Neil related earlier that in 2 weeks, we're going to be meeting out on our land to celebrate our homecoming and also our dig-in ceremony for groundbreaking. And construction should start on the land in October, and we are so excited about that. And then on the 26th, when we come back, when we move back into two services, we'll be moving back into our Created and Called series, going back into Genesis. But this morning, where I want us to kind of park for a while is our staff has been going through a discipleship material by Henry Blackaby called Experiencing God. This will probably date you, but how many of you have heard of Henry Blackaby's Experiencing God discipleship study? Wow, a lot of you. Well, that surprises me. So Experiencing God essentially is a study that helps us understand how to walk in a love relationship with God. And 2 years ago, in August of 2016, we did a study called The Church, Defined and Refined. And as I began to look at the next 2 weeks, we're going to tack on to that series. And so if you want to go back this week and listen to those couple of messages that we had back in 2016, it's kind of like a prequel to today's message and next week's message. But Experiencing God helps us recenter our life on an intimate love relationship with Jesus Christ. And this study has been used immensely in my life and in my ministry for my understanding of how to walk with Jesus, of how to relate with the body of Christ, how to lead a church, how to do counseling, how to listen to God in my personal life. It was one of those formative studies for me when I first went through it in my 20s. And that was many, many, many moons ago. And so I kind of wanted to show you a couple of iterations of this material. There's two other books I didn't bring with me. They put Experiencing God in a college version back when I was a campus minister, and it was a little thinner book called God's Invitation. So I have two of those at the office. But the first iteration was this. I went through this when I was a young adult and singles minister at First Baptist Church of Garland, Texas, when I was in seminary. And it kind of takes the life of Moses and walks you through how Moses related with and heard from God. And so we have back in that day, I won't tell you the dates of this, but this is cartoon Moses, as you can see on the cover. All right? So they came and they did a redesign, and the redesign a few years later was this, Experiencing God. This is more like Art Deco Moses. And so I've been through this, and it's been incredible as we've walked through this as a staff, getting the opportunity of going back and reading some of my reflections and things I learned. And then several years ago, they redesigned it, and this is an actual photo of Moses that they found. And so if you've been wanting to know what Moses looks like, they got this off of Wikipedia, and it's verified. It's got a blue check mark next to his name on social media, and this is my current book. And so I say that to say, I'd encourage you and a group of your friends to consider perhaps picking up a book. It's organized into 12 weeks. It's 5 days worth of activities per week. It will really jumpstart your quiet time if you don't currently have a regular daily discipline quiet time. It'll take you 20 to 30 minutes each day. It's interactive. You'll read scripture. You'll respond to it. But I think it will bless you as you seek to follow Jesus in your life. And so the next 2 weeks, I want to focus entirely on our relationship with Jesus. And I want to give an adjective to that. I want to call it a love relationship with Jesus. We've said that at North Star a lot. And one of the things that you've probably learned as you go back and you read books that were formative to you and your Christian discipleship, I learned a lot as I'm going through experiencing God with the staff right now of how much my language is actually reflective of things and principles I learned in experiencing God when I was in my 20s. I'll say things and I'll go, oh, that's where I got that. And I realized just how deeply impressionable the Lord had used the scriptures in this study to really shape how I walk and pray and study God's word and counsel and lead. And so there are four things that I hope will be our goal over the next 2 weeks. The first thing is this. I want to show you that God loves you more than you ever dreamed. I hope to be able to show you that God loves you more than you ever dreamed. He loves you. In spite of your failure, in spite of your past, in spite of your current sin or your future sin, God loves you more than you ever dreamed. Second thing I hope that we can look at is that our love is the only right response to God. When you discover how much God loves you, you will be tempted to say, God, thank you so much for loving me. I will serve you for the rest of my life. And somewhere over the course of serving God, we think that our service becomes an attempt to repay God for what he's done by sending his son for us. But service is a very poor substitute for love in your relationship with Jesus Christ. And so I hope to show you that love is the only right response to God. And thirdly, it's my conviction that loving God well leads us to loving our neighbors and the nations deeply. Loving God well leads us to loving our neighbors and the nations deeply. And fourthly, I hope to show that every single Christian should enjoy. And if you're taking notes, I hope you underline the word enjoy. You should enjoy your relationship with God and expect to experience God in your life. It's one of those really stunning and humbling realities. As we read through Scripture, we read stories of ordinary men and women who experienced God's work through their life, who witnessed God doing amazing and miraculous things. People being raised from the dead, seas being parted, people being healed. And so it is our contention today that our God is still at work in our world, and he is at work through his body, our church. And one of the reasons that we don't experience God is because we don't have a love relationship with him. So the primary and the ultimate significance of the Christian's life is in having a love relationship with God. And sometimes the best way to explain what something is by explaining what it's not. And so let me tell you a little bit about what a love relationship with God is not. A love relationship with God is not attending church or being a part of a small group. A love relationship with God is not reading your Bible. A love relationship with God is not about talking to others about Christianity or about religion. A love relationship with God is not about giving. It's not about serving. It's not even about being around Christians socially or being raised in a Christian family. Perhaps the best way to explain what a love relationship with God is like is to begin with God. If you're asking what is a love relationship with God like, let's just put that question on the shelf for just a moment, and let's just begin with this reality: God. God exists. God is real. And God is love. We began studying this reality in our Created and Called series several weeks ago. And as we looked at Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, one reality emerged from that, and it's just this, is that before we were, God was. Before we were, God was. And so we have to begin, before we define what is a love relationship with God, we have to just believe that God exists. Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, God. And then the New Testament counterpart to Genesis 1:1 is John 1:1. And the Apostle John wrote, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so it tells us that Jesus was at creation, was the agent of creation. And so God exists, God pre-exists, God is eternal. And so if we are going to have a love relationship with God, we must first of all believe that God exists, right? If you don't believe He exists, you're going to have a really difficult time having a love relationship with a myth. And Hebrews 11:6 affirms this. It says, now without faith it is impossible to please God, since the one who draws near to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him. Think about that. It's impossible to please God without faith, for the one who draws near to God must believe two things: that He exists and that He rewards. That God is real and that God is love. Think about He rewards those who seek Him. Think about the heart of God who would reward those who have rebelled against Him. Think about the heart of God who would make a way that we might be right with Him. Think about when someone offends you or sins against you or does you wrong. What do we do in those situations? Don't we wait for them to take initiative to apologize to us? Because in our head we say, well, it's their fault. I didn't do anything, so they're going to have to take the initiative to come to me, to make things right with me. They're the ones that transgressed against me. But what God did, instead of us coming to God, because Scripture says there's no one righteous, there's not one, there's no one who seeks after God, there's no one who initiates a right relationship with God, what God did while we were still sinners, God sent His Son. He initiated. He bridged the gap between our willful rebellion and His glorious restoration. And so He rewards. Think about the heart of a God who would reward those who've turned away from Him. And so we are told throughout Scripture that the primary characteristic of God is love. It is holy love. The Apostle John says this explicitly in 1 John 4:8. He says, the one who does not love does not know God, because God is love. The one who doesn't love does not know God, because God is love. So it is important for us, as we begin to answer the question, what is a love relationship with God, is we have to understand that God exists and that God loves and that everything God does is framed and shaped by His holy love for us, and it's through the person of Jesus Christ. In Exodus chapter 34, verse 5 through 6, Moses had this experience, and Moses wanted to experience, he wanted to see, he wanted to know who God is. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, they had had their experiences with God. But Moses was in the process of leading the Israelites out of slavery, and Moses came to this moment of crisis of belief, and he says, God, I need to know your name. I need to know your character. And in Exodus, we're told, it says, the Lord passed before him, and it proclaimed his name, saying, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. God exists. God is love. So let's connect these two realities. And let's answer the question about this love relationship that he wants us to have with him. In the garden, we, through our ancestors, Adam and Eve, we stepped out of a love relationship with God. Adam and Eve enjoyed perfection. Adam and Eve enjoyed bliss. They enjoyed a relationship with God that was characterized in Genesis by God would come and he would walk with them in the garden. He would fellowship with them. He would enjoy their company. He would enjoy the relationship. He loved them and they loved him until man's eyes were swayed and turned. And through them, all of us as well, we chose our own preferences and we chose God's good creation. They chose an apple, but we still choose the things that God provides for us and we make them idols in our lives too, right? So we choose our own preferences and we choose what God has made and it distracts us from our love relationship with God. And when Adam and Eve and when we step out of that love relationship with God, fellowship is broken. The relationship is still there. But the enjoyment of fellowship with God is broken. It's like when someone does something to wrong you and you just sense that the relationship is not what it was. It's not as close, it's not as intimate, it's not as enjoyable. The fellowship is broken. And we all exist at times in this broken fellowship with God when we choose sin in our lives. But God had a plan to restore us. God had a plan to redeem us. God had a plan to save us, to rescue us from our willful and wrong choices. He knew that we would never be able to make up for our sin. And so what God did is, in the Tim Tebow verse of John 3:16 and John 3:17, we know it, but this is God's plan. It says, for God so what? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. And then verse 17 continues and says this, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. God wants a love relationship with us. He wants a love relationship with me. He wants a love relationship with you so deeply that he sent his Son so that we might enjoy his fellowship, that we might enjoy his love unhindered because he paid for our sins. And so we no longer have to walk into the presence of God with shame or humiliation or embarrassment because of our sin. Our sin has been placed on King Jesus and it has been defeated and destroyed. And God at any given moment invites us constantly into this love relationship with himself. And so it was God's plan to save, to restore our relationship with him by defeating what hindered our relationship in the beginning, which was sin. And so Jesus took my sin, he took your sin, he took our punishment upon himself. He died and rose again, leaving our sin defeated in the grave. And so it begins to make sense why Jesus said the first and the greatest commandment. In Matthew chapter 22, verse 37, Jesus is, they think he's they're cornering him, but the Pharisees come and they pepper Jesus with questions. And finally they say, what's the first and the greatest commandment? And Jesus simply quotes to them Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5, which was known as the Shema of Israel, which every Jewish boy and girl would memorize growing up. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God. And in Deuteronomy 6, 5, which Jesus quotes in Matthew 22, 37, says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And then in verse 38, Jesus says, this is the greatest and most important command. So if you want to know what does God want from you today, how can you please God? If you've trusted Jesus as Savior, the relationship begins with faith. But when you've trusted Christ as Savior, what do you do to please Him from that point forward? You love Him. You intimately love God. You praise Him. You adore Him. You place Him first in all of your affections. Your mind is consumed with adoring thoughts about Jesus. Your actions are directed and informed by your love for Jesus. Your speech, your tweets, your Facebook status, its content comes out of your love for Christ. Your relationships are shaped and informed by your love for Christ. You love Him so much that that love for Christ leaks out into everything that you say or do or touch. Your decisions, your priorities, they're all informed and shaped by this love for Christ. And so what does this love relationship with God look like? I want you to look, and we'll camp out here for just a few moments, but in John chapter 15, and we'll have it on the screen, John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8, I want you to listen to Jesus' words about how He describes the relationship that He wants His people to have to Him. And listen carefully, because as Jesus describes the relationship He wants us to have with Him, He's actually defining the church. He's saying, here's what a church should look like. A church should be made up of a bunch of people who do this, okay? John chapter 15, verse 1 says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. Every branch in me that does not produce fruit, He removes. And He prunes every branch that produces fruit so that it will produce more fruit. You are already clean, and clean was a word that would be used of a gardening technique. When you prune the vine, after you prune it, they would refer to it as been cleaned. And so He's saying, you are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. And He says, remain in me. Now, some of your translations will say abide. Some of them will say stay. But Jesus says, abide in me. Remain in me. Stay in me and I in you. Just as a branch is unable to produce fruit by itself unless it remains on the vine, neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him produces much fruit, because you can do nothing without me. If anyone doesn't remain in me, he's thrown aside like a branch and he withers. They gather them and they throw them into the fire and they are burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you want and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you produce much fruit and prove to be my disciples." So some quick thoughts just from this passage is, first thing is, you were created and you're intended to bear fruit. What does a love relationship with God look like? It means it's a Christian, a Jesus follower whose life is bearing spiritual fruit. If you're not bearing fruit, it seems to be indicative of the fact you're not connected to the vine. If you're connected to Jesus, if you remain in Him, if you abide in Him, if you enjoy this intimate love relationship with Jesus, He is going to cause you to bear fruit. Now, from my days in botany when I was a college student, one of the things I remember, strangely enough, is there are tubes in a plant, right? And these tubes, a couple of tubes, xylem and phloem, is that right? Xylem up, phloem down. I remember that. I don't have no idea why. Dr. Brown was my professor, Washoe Baptist University. Thank him for that. But these tubes bring nourishment to the plant. If they're not there, you're not going to have fruit. And in the same way, if we're not connected to Jesus, we will not produce spiritual fruit. So it doesn't matter if you're attending church in small group. It doesn't matter if you're reading your Bible. It doesn't matter if you're talking about Christianity. If you don't have a love relationship with Jesus, He is going to break off your branch and throw it into the fire. It is an intimate love relationship with Christ by faith that regenerates us, that brings the Holy Spirit to live within us. So bearing fruit is indicative of connectivity. You can't bear fruit if you're not connected, and you can't bear more fruit without being pruned. And that's a whole nother sermon for a whole nother day. And if you want to listen to it, you can go back and listen to the first two messages of the Defined and Refined series. But no fruit results in removal from the vine. And then I want you to see from John 15, 1 through 8, we are not just intended to bear fruit, but we're intended to bear much fruit. The abundance of this fruit glorifies the Father, who is the gardener, and our fruit actually proves our love relationship and that we are disciples of Christ. And now look at verses 9 through 17 of John 15. And I went ahead and I highlighted. Nope, I didn't. Thought I did. It's highlighted here, so if y'all want to read with me off of this. I want you to mentally highlight every time you see the word love there. "As the Father has loved me, I have also loved you." Man, I feel like I could just stop right there and say amen, and we'd be done. But as the Father has loved Jesus, do you think that is a significant, eternal, universe-creating type of love? That type of love the Father has for the Son is the same kind of love He has for you and has for me. "As the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you these things so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete." Amen. "This is my command. Love one another as I have loved you." You see how it works? When we enjoy a love relationship with God, it will flow into our neighbors and nations. We will not be able to help loving others. "No one has greater love than this, to lay down his life for his friends." And isn't that what Jesus did for us? "You are my friends if you do what I command you. I don't call you servants anymore because a servant doesn't know what his master is doing. I've called you friends because I've made known to you everything I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce fruit, that your fruit should remain, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. This is what I command you. love one another. So some quick thoughts here. You are loved. You are so loved. What the Father wants from us is a love relationship. You are to love others. It is all about love. We see here, greater love has no one than this, than he would lay down his life. And so love lays down. And then true, godly, Christ-saturated love will bear fruit. It will bear fruit. So let me close with these remarks, and I'm going to invite our worship team to come up and prepare to lead us and close us in worship. But at North Star, we are a covenant membership church. We make a big deal about membership at North Star. We love if you attend, but at some point, you need to cross over from just attending into joining in membership, to committing your life to one another, to serve with us, to enjoy a love relationship with God with one another. The very first point on our covenant is simply this. We promise to cultivate my relationship with Jesus Christ, to obey his teachings and practice his ways. I promise to cultivate my relationship with Jesus Christ, to obey his teachings and practice his ways. Friends, as members of North Star, let me preach to you just for just a moment. Woven into the fabric of who we are as a church is this responsibility. You assume responsibility to cultivate, to nourish, to nurture, to grow, to blossom in your love relationship with Jesus. Our church is only spiritually healthy as each of us are pursuing a love relationship with Jesus Christ. You can't have my love relationship with Jesus. You can't have your small group leader's love relationship with Jesus. You can't say, well, I know someone that's close to Jesus, and so their closeness is going to help me. I can depend on their closeness. No. You must be close to Jesus. You. Through loving surrender, through praise, through adoration, through confession, through honesty, through transparency, through obedience. All of that comes just from loving God. And you will have no problems loving God when you look him in the face and you realize how much he loves you. Man, if you could just grasp this morning how much God loves you, that he sent his son so that you can be free, so that you can be forgiven, so that you can walk in joy and peace, not worrying that you're going to screw up and make God angry at you, but knowing that your sins have been placed on Jesus and you walk before him in confidence and in purity because of what he's done for you, not because of what you've done for him. You must have a love relationship with Jesus Christ. A church is based on each individual's love relationship with Jesus. We are only as strong as we love him. It doesn't matter what we do that might be creative. It doesn't matter that we're going to build a ministry center and give it to the community. It doesn't matter if you are not in love with Jesus. It just doesn't matter. That is life's single calling. As we walk the streets of Istanbul and we're meeting with these people and they're so spiritually hungry and thirsty, it was such a foreign concept in conversation with them to love God, to enjoy being loved by God, being confident that God loved you so much that he prepared a way and he's preparing a place for all those who call upon the name of Jesus Christ. So I would ask, are you connected to Jesus today? Are you in love with Jesus Christ today? If that is a question in your heart, If you wonder about that, if you are not certain, if you're saying, today is the day that I want to be saved. Today is the day that I want Jesus to be first and foremost in my life. Today is the day that I lay stuff down. Today is the day I decide to follow Him. This will be your day of praise. This will be a day you'll look back on. You'll encounter hardship. You'll encounter trial. You'll encounter testing. But one thing you can be sure of, through it all, God loves you. And God will lead you, and He will never leave you. We may leave Him for a time. He will never leave us. And so as our worship team sings, I'm going to invite our staff to step out into the cafeteria area. And if you just need to stand here and worship and sing and pour out your heart in song, then do that. But if you need someone to pray with, you need someone to tell you how to begin your love relationship with Jesus, our staff will be in the cafeteria to receive you, to pray for you. But if we could, let's stand, I'll pray, and then Tanner, if you'd lead us in worship. Father, we exalt you today, and we love you so much. You have done so much for us, and we pray that this day would be the day of salvation for many. We pray that this day would be a day of repentance. This day would be a day that you renew our affections for you. We ask this in the glorious name of the one that came to make love possible. Jesus' name. Amen.
We're so glad you found this message today. You can find more resources, including previous podcasts, at northstarfamily.org. Thanks again for listening, and we hope to see you next time at North Star Church.